Parashas Mishpatim. The first time the Torah focuses on Dinei Mamonos, and the Bar Mitzvah boys are blessed by people, both the Oisbachs and the Erlich Yid. You should grow up to be an honest Jew. They often think there's not much of a bracha, you know, wish there should be a God like our baby. But an honest Yid, big deal. The same of a rabbi, unfortunately, is the big bracha. Say only loud and clear. Rabbanim are constantly involved with non-erlicha people who pretend to be from a yidden. Sometimes they're out now close, and that, I don't know what there is to say, but very often it happens because people cast in Dinei Mamonos on their own hashara, on their own estimation of what's right. And that's the Torah's God. Look at Shulchan Aruch, what's right. What's right always looks to you like you're right. Honestly, it looks like. But a person has to cast in based on Shulchan Aruch, and a person has to know that it. Since most of us are not big bikim in Shulchan Aruch, so therefore, it's necessary to ask and to know and to ask, and I'll be Shulchan Aruch. Over the year, I've mentioned to you many dinim that are logically one way and learn with Shulchan Aruch a different way. What I did today is I collected a number of shailas that come up. I tried not to repeat the ones that I have done over the year. Shailas that have come up, some of them are very lamaisa, and that's why I've chosen them. Some of them are just very interesting. Even though they don't come up, I'm going to mention them as well. I'd like to go through a number of Sashi Mishpat dinim. None of them are current. Some are old shailas from years ago. Some are shailas that are on Chulas Farim. So any similarity to anybody you know, past or present, is purely coincidental. Although, if I told you present ones, it probably won't be more interesting. But first of all, there's one halacha that comes up time and time again. The idea of Mechusrei Emunah. Especially with the prices of real estate, crazy as they are today, it happens very, very often. That Reuven is selling a house, Shimon looks at the house, and they agree on a price, and Reuven is masking to pay, agrees to sell it to Shimon. Later, a different buyer who wants the house says, I'll offer you $20,000 more. So Reuven wants very much to back out of his deal with Shimon. And he didn't make a kinyan, he didn't go to contract, he didn't do anything, he just gave his word. So the question is, if his word is worth $20,000, $100,000, $200,000, $20,000. Shulchan Aruch calls that Mechusrei Emunah. Somebody who gives his word, has an oral agreement to sell something, and he backs out, that's Mechusrei Emunah. Mechusrei Emunah means that you're mechuyev to stick to your word. Doesn't he enforce you, but you're mechuyev to go with your word, except one exception. It was a toss, it was a mecha toss, then it doesn't apply. However, if it's not a mecha toss, you have to stick with your word, otherwise it's Mechusrei Emunah. There is a machlokes, the Raman Neshach, if it's Neshtana Hashar, if after you gave your word, the market changed, not in the normal way it changes, but something major happened. You agreed to sell a certain type of precious metal. And suddenly there's a big shortage and the price skyrocketed. Then it's there is a machlokes, the Rama says you're still not allowed to back out. The Shach holds you are allowed to back out. Seems to me Rav Achrayim will say even in such a case not to back out. I'm only mentioning that as an aside, as an exception. But the Ikar Abdin, no Shiloh, when a person gives his word, the person is machlokes to stick with it. Maisa Shahaya Kahaya, I don't remember the exact numbers, but someone called me, he's a real estate broker, and he said that someone called him and said, I have a house for sale. 40 by 100 lots of the house, and he wanted $1 million for it. So the broker immediately realized he knew somebody who was looking for such a house. So he hung up the phone, he picked up the phone, he called this other person, he said, this person had a house on Flatbush for $1 million. So he said, hey, I want to take you down to see it. So the guy said, $1 million, I'll take it. So he didn't see it yet. He said, it doesn't matter, I'm desperate enough, I'll take it, $1 million. Okay, good. Called back the owner, owned his master. So he went into work. This is all he did from his house. He told me he went to work an hour later. He said, you know, I made big money, bang, bang, just four phone calls. There's a lot, 40 by 100 on Fifth Street. And this person, you know, I knew he wanted a bank, I made, you know, the commission is, whatever it is. So the people in the place, they said, what are you talking about? A 40 by 100 lot at that location is worth $1.5 million easy. Probably get $1.8 million for it. Even a lot without a house is nothing. It's worth much, much more. So this fellow called me up, and he tells me that what he would like to do is back out of the deal from the Kalinkaya, buy it and sell for $1 million, which really will cost him a little less because he really gets a commission. He'll buy it for $1 million, sell for $1.8 million, and they'll make $800,000. So really, so he asked me if that's mutter of the chusrei emuna. I was very touched by the fact that he called, because this fellow is not a rich man, not a rich man by far. To make $800,000 in one deal, that's more than he makes in a couple of years. And he actually called. He's a simple yid, he's not a big talmid chacham. Very simple yid. You wouldn't think such, I really, God wasn't such a person. He's on his ground just to pay his bills. And I was very excited about a phone call. I remember then, my shver told me that during the Holocaust, when the Germans came in, how he was a little boy at the time. It was before Bar Mitzvah. And how he was struck by how some so-called chashuva yidden in town and some simple yidden in town reacted. Some very simple people, when mice and nefesh for other people, some so-called chashuva people were very selfishly protecting themselves. Now, you know, to really see the true color of a person, sometimes you need a stress time to see it. This person, as Nishtayim. The truth is that the whole shy was not a Tavra Pashas, because the Shaila Vagnah, sounds worth $1.8 million, to sell it for $1 million. And if the guy wasn't even getting $1 million, he was getting $1 million minus the commission. Was shadowed by Noah. Now you all know the way to be in China, meaning the Karkais. The Karkais is the way Noah. The Ramban, I believe, said in Chumash that that's only the Dieved in the Karkais. The Chilah, you're not allowed to do in Chira, that's by Noah. And additionally, there are Mishanim that say that by Noah, to cheat someone 50%, that is by Noah, you're by Karkais. Ain't by Noah, the Karkais, because usually Karka is. Karka has a fluctuating value, it's hard to pinpoint it out. But if you cheat him by 50%, it's worth more than $1.5 million. Then the Arishayim will say there is a Nova Karkais, the Ramban is stumbling pack and like it's put in the Gillian of the Shulchan Aruch. That's what he did. He went back to the seller and he told the seller that you're under you're cheating yourself. And I'm sure the seller was very, very grateful. Maybe gave him an extra $100 because of that. But at least he sold it for $1.5 million, his commission was more, and in the end he got something for it. As the Shleiman, by the whole thing. Another interesting Shaila is a big nidah, Mechila Tzricha Kinyan. Mechila, when you might love somebody, do you need a Kinyan? One case the Rambam used to mention when he spoke about Hashemish B'Chayilas is if somebody who buys milk in the store takes it home and it's sour. And most people, they figure that something called Sabra Mekibble, and go schlep back to the store with the barrel milk. So I'll pour it out already and finish. And then later, somebody else in the house is going to the store anyway, says, you know what, I'll take the milk back. He's going, anyhow, take it back, look at this credit. There's a halacha of Sabra Mekibble, that if you were Mekabel, it was a toss, it was a mekar toss, and you saw her, you understood it, the kibble, and you accepted it. Even just because you're lazy to go, saw her, the kibble, you can't return it anymore. You can go back, tell them I was saw her, the kibble, and they changed my mind. But you have no right to return it. So if one of the kids in the house is saw her, the kibble, that's not binding on the parents. If the wife is saw her, the kibble, I'm not sure if it's binding on the husband either. But certainly if the husband is sovereign to kibble, the person is sovereign to kibble, he can't return it anymore. That's halacha p'suka. Mechila, what? No, sovereign to kibble means if it was a kibble, it was ready. Yeah, if it was machlit, that's miachlot, that's not the piece of sovereign, he can still go back. But if it was machlit, he decided, so that's for sure, even the lays is a kibble. Shaila is, what about mechila on a chayt? Something that is milk in your hand. There's milk, you have the milk, you have it in your shoes. What about mechila b'leiv? Is mechila b'leiv a mechila? It's a machlokes ha'poskim. Is mechila b'leiv is a mechila? La'halacha, the star we paskin, like the Ketzais and the Sivis, they agree on this one, that it's not a mechila. The star we paskin that mechila b'leiv is not. However, mechila b'peh is a mechila even if you didn't tell the person who owes you money. Someone told his wife, you know, plenty owes me money, I'm not gonna be today, I'm not gonna, I'm leichelin. Mechila tzchal even if plenty doesn't know about it. Because it's not the life, b'peh. Mechila b'peh is a mechila yiyush, is not. If you say, I'll never pay me, but you're miyayish, then he still owes you the money, still a chayit to pay. But if you're leichel, mechila is a b'peh, is a mechila b'leiv. I assume we pass on like the Ketzais Mesivis that mechila b'leiv is not a mechila. Again, I had a very interesting story. I had to make these up, it all took place. Ma'aseh shehaya kachaya, somebody calls me, tells me he has a friend that was his friend since yeshiva days. Yeshiva together. He got married, he went into business, his friend went into business, and he was very much shliach. His friend is a Palabas, not the man of great means. He said, when my friend had to buy a house, he called me for a loan. He told me right away, I don't know when I'll be able to pay it back, you know, but he said, Hashem, hope to pay. So I lent him money to buy a house. I didn't hear from him since. Then he had to make a bar mitzvah. So he called me again for a loan. Again, he told me, I don't know when I'll pay it back, but I hope someday pay it back. I lent him money for a bar mitzvah. I made another bar mitzvah. The third time, then he's done a chassis. So I already understood that he can't pay me. No, he's helping me now, but he can't pay me. And I gave him money for the first chassis, the second chassis, the third chassis. You know, I owe his chassis already. I paid it, you know, I banked all his weddings. He owes me already quite a large amount of money. But I realized I'm never going to get it. And look, we're friends, we're kids, you know, so shite. I gave him the money, it didn't matter to me. So today, my friend called me for a loan for chasna. And I said, sure, no problem. Come on, I'll give you the money. And then he said to me, I bet you think you'll never get paid for these loans. He smiled. He said, well, you know, can't pay. So he said, he told him, no. Soon I'm going to turn 59 and a half. I have an IRA. All the years I put away money in the IRA. When you're 59 and a half, you can take it out. As soon as I'm 59 and a half, I'm taking out and paying you back every penny. The whole money, how much money it was, to pay back every penny. So this fellow called me to ask me, am I allowed to take the money? He says, Michael, what any? Am I allowed to take the money? Just a shy. But the way it seems, the mechila was beleved. I asked him, he told his wife he's beleved. He said, I don't want to tell his wife. I'll tell you, if you ever give a lot of money to someone, not, you know, not a mitzvah to be in the fast, all you have is, you know, problems. And besides, Rav Shor used to say, you do a good thing. Rav Shor used to say that if you tell people, So it's quieter in Shemayim. It's quieter here that they talk about it more in Shemayim, this way, that those expressions. So he said he didn't tell anybody. Even though there was no mechila, nevertheless, he told him, at a certain point you realize, you don't know you thought, but you realize you'll never be paid. All the so-called loans that you gave after that time, you didn't give the tax loan. You gave me kara, because matana, just, you called it a loan, now it's kaida. All the loans from that point on, you're not entitled to the money. You're not entitled to it. You're not entitled to the money. It's a, it's all that money after that. I think that Ashara is correct. My father, right before his patira, was Michael, everyone who owed him money. Just about everyone who owed him money. And some chayes that he excluded from wealthy people, but it was Michael. So during the shiva, somebody came to pay up a chayes. I said, I told my father it was Michael. So he said, I'd love to see Dei Shemayim, I want to pay. I told him, you want to give me money, but it's a matan. The chayes doesn't exist. The chiva makes it, but not in Mishra. The chayes doesn't exist. It doesn't exist totally. I was never Yavish any type of chayes. Chiva is the chiva. You're Michael. So that you have to know. Michael. Isn't that mechila? I said, I think you'll never pay. Third nekuda. This nekuda, I can go into barichus. When we went to Bava Kama, we spoke about barichus. I mentioned it. Last year in Kedusha, when we spoke about Kinyan Mashiach, I just want to tell you regarding cars, borrowing, lending cars, having accidents, paying for damage. It's not pashut. You should know. It's not pashut. You always have to do the shayla. If you lend someone a car, and he takes the car, and he goes driving with it, he's going somewhere, and he gets into an accident that's not a pshia, typical accident, everyone assumes that he has to pay you. He's a shayel. Everyone knows he's a shayel. You have to pay everything. There's a machlokes rishayim when a shayel starts to have a din shayel, or any shayel. Lamaisa, the shayel only gets a din shayel, or a shayel only gets a din shayel when he does a kinyan on the thing that he borrowed. He has to be kinyan. Now, if he borrows a pen, he picks up in his hand, he's kinyan with a bow, a kinyan, yes. Someone borrows a car, what kinyan does he have in the car? Picks up the car. Your keys, I'll pay for the keys. I'll return the keys. Kind of the keys? The keys, it's just by a bias that could be, the keys could be a kinyan. What? Registration. So you pay for the registration. You can return the registration.
Why is it like a
Because there's no such concept. The keys are the cable. You haven't been up a kinyan in the cable. The car, the person's only kind of the car.
On the highway, it's like, what, huh?
So we went into that a little last year. If he parked in his own driveway, it's certainly kind of. And I think we came out last year that if you parked it in a parking place, which is a legal parking place, that's a simta. That you're kind of a simta, Mashiach was simta, that way, it's also kind of. But if he just goes driving it off on the highway, or if he parks it at a bus stop, we don't have a pocket, he's not kind of, he's not simta. Only in a legal place. I think that was Amaskana. I mentioned to you last year that it seems to me if he borrows your car and goes out to the mountains, there'd be a difference if he takes the Gowanus or Hamilton Avenue. When you come to the Gowanus, remember I mentioned that if you go on Hamilton Avenue, you're still not kind. But the Gowanus should have a din hadvah. Hadvah is kind of. He has a pill that you kind of an elephant by putting it on top of a cable. You drive up at a race highway, so maybe you're kind of a hadvah. It still seems to me that that's correct. I had a sikhsuch in the city, four of us, and I was the only one who felt that way. Rabbi Yochel David. And Rabbi Yaakov Horowitz from Tel's Minyan in Borough Park, Rav Khan from the Bezdin in Lakewood, all disagree. Well, two of them disagreed strongly. And they felt that a highway is a highway. It's still karka, it's not akbar. Even though by pill you kite it, that's not the case. But a raised tithe, they ask me, you have a ramp? You have a ramp? I said, a ramp is different. Cock all the way up here, it's on poles. If you put cable on poles, so this is the disagreement there. So they told me, you know, on Shabbos, you say the same thing. And on a raised highway, it's has a din of, it has a din of Makkah Ketor. So I didn't see the din yet from Hilchot Shabbos to Hilchot Kinyan and Bechlal, but it's a disagreement we had, they both still disagreed, and said, well, the Sultan Knight is not like me. So I'm wrong, so unless I find a Raya, but that was my Ashar. But anyway, the Ikka din, you should know that when you borrow cars, things like that, it's not so posh. You can make it tonight. Make it tonight at the time that you do it, and you do a Kinyan Seder, and it'll be machleis. But otherwise, it's not at all a double push. It's a perfect example of cases of Chayshim Mishnah where you have to know a Shnei Halacha. You can't stop asking and stammering. Who has to give? So that we pass condemned. The one who's Machayim himself has to get the thing. So there's a trade. So if I give his guidance, just remind me, there's a very interesting din Torah. The Shabbos Parshas Mishpatim, Tavshin and Gimel, 22 years ago. Shabbos morning, Parshas Mishpatim, there was a sudden snowstorm, unpredicted. Snowstorm, one of these 10-inch drops that was totally unpredicted. And we remember, look, of Shabbos morning, couldn't believe it. It was a flash snowstorm. That Matzah Shabbos, a certain Maisid had a Malamalka schedule, and they had to cancel it because of the rather than out of town Maisid, they had it in Borough Park. It was then, I remember when it was called the Armand Terrace then, and so there was a Sichsuch, and they decided this Maisid had three Rosh Hashivas on their stationery. I was supposed to be there, and there was a sichsuch between the maaser and the caterer as to whether they have to pay. The caterer had a big loss. They weren't going to cook everything with the Shabbos. They had bought food, and they're going to do it over food now. And whatever, they can cancel. It's a big hefted moment from the affair. And they decided the three were Shmuel Berenbaum and the Baruch Shechter. It should be well. And Yvonne Lachayim Rapam, they were the three that were supposed to be there, and they had to decide this case. I can't speak to the other two. Oh, he told me Rapam said that it was a sifsach, it was one of the shiva against two of them had a paskin. Again, I can only tell it the way I remember it. I marked down at the time that this happened the way I remember it. This Hashkafu Yishayna was, is a sifsach, case is something like this. It says somebody hires a worker to bring something to the next city. There's a chayla that needs it. By the time he gets to the next city, the chayla is not alive anymore. The chayla doesn't need it. He brings it back. So the halacha is that you have to pay. But the worker is not responsible that you should have a tayyam. The worker is responsible. You tell him, bring this from here to here. He brings it. If it gets there, it's not needed, he's not responsible. So Bashkafu Yishayna, same thing here. You hired him to make you a dinner. He made you a dinner. You don't need the dinner. It's not so. So the person dies, the person dies. So it should be the same thing. Just the opinion of one of the Rashi Yeshiva. The problem with Tainid, and the second one of them Tainid, that is not similar to that case, which is, I think, Shin Lamed Hei Sifches, Shulchan Aruch. But the case is more similar to Simon Shin Lamed Gimel, coincidentally spelled Shelek. In case it's similar to Simon, and Gimel, Shelek goes, oh, it's a Nidai. There it's a Nidai, not with a worker, but with a contractor. You hire someone to make you a certain type of a cake.
Now, I have to manufacture a cable for you. You go to the store, you tell them I need the tables to sell to someone else. You tell them I need like selling, going to business, I'm selling certain candy. I want you to print for me 10,000 bags. And then he prints it. You come and say, why? You say, no, I decide I don't need it. I didn't make a kenyan. Nothing. I want that. What's the deal? So the halacha is that you have to pay off garmi. Garmi, you will go to the hefset. You print. You told to print 10,000 labels with your name on it. No one else has any use for it. There's no market value. That's garmi. So yeah. Dina garmi is one exception. And that is oinus. Garmi, you go to the hefset to someone in a way that you carry about dina garmi. Oinus is positive. You call someone absent. You're total oinus on the fact that you don't need it. You're puzzled. So Rambam said that making an affair is not hiring a worker. You hire someone to make an affair. That's like a contractor. You hire him to make labels. You hire him to make an affair. You have to gather together all the things that are needed. There's a cost. It's not a plan. Not paying per hour. You're paying him to set up an affair for you. He said maybe because he had to pay waiters. The waiters travel down. They negotiated. They travel before they were notified. So it could be on the waiters. It's a shiloh fire. But on the affair itself, the title was that it has a din of a kabbalah. A kabbalah is a different din. It has din garmi, which normally is would be chayav anyway, except in Einus. This is a total Einus. The whole snowstorm was an unpredicted snowstorm. And even if it had been predicted, it was predicted to the people making the affair as much as to the caterer. And therefore, they held that the caterer was potter. Therefore, the shishiva is potter. Shimon, hey, it's a pile. You hire a pile, it's not a garmi that you hire. You hire a pile, you hire a pile. A pile with pure malasa. So he stops working. The employer cannot back out. And you have to pay for his work. You didn't need his work. There's nothing to do with it. That's pile. That's pile and that's cabin. Pile and cabin are two different stories.
By the
Kabbalah,
because they didn't end up making the affair.
What?
By the Kabbalah, because they didn't end up making the affair.
By the Kabbalah, he was an
idiot.
He didn't make the affair.
What if they
didn't want to
make the affair, and nobody would
have come? So that's called not making an affair. Making an affair, nobody gets it. Nothing to say. How come Eidah wasn't Kedai to make the affair? If they were tied in, it was Kedai. They would have been in the detail. They were asking if they wasn't Kedai. It's a very interesting thing, and then I'll say the truth, that this whole difference between a pile and a cobbler, and I only remember because of what happened. You have a story to it, you remember, you don't necessarily remember, but at least you remember a little better. He's what the shaima was, and you make an affair, you're hiring him to work, you're hiring him to test cobbler, and it has other ramifications in the law, which I mentioned now, but recently they printed, like, I'll be totally different shaima, Sacrament of Moyashes. And the yeshiva has a din kabbalah. Paying money to the yeshiva is a shayla. You could prepay, you get a discount for prepaying tuition. The kabbalah and it's mutter. So the yeshiva is a kabbalah. She was hired to put together all the things you need for yeshiva. That meant chayla. Which is not sure the way Rav Pam was saying, but I'll go put it. It's a nice shayla and a nice yeshiva. There's one story that Rav Pam liked to say over Shana's father. He said his father told him this nice that it happened to Yisrael Ochanan. Been printed books, the shame of the Gedalim, which is not a surprise, it's a nice story. So printed that happened there with Mrs. Solomon. Doesn't matter what happened with it, it's nice. It's another good example that you have to ask a shayla. Nice to show you, Kachaya. This is already Rabbi Krohn's book, I believe, so maybe you heard the story. Maisa was back in the days of simple commercial businesses. People had a business, and they went to a shuk in the big town. They bought a lot of merchandise, and they brought it to the little town. They sold it over a month or two, and then they went back. So Maisa Shahaya was the man who ran the store, and his wife was the man in the store. She went, he stayed in town, he's still running the store, and the wife went to run. She took a lot of money, whatever money they had, and went to buy a lot of merchandise in Yerid and to bring it back. She went to the Yerid and she looked around for the cheapest price. She finally was a seller. She's ready to buy. She puts her hand in her pocket. Money's not there. All the money is gone. So she got frantic, as only women can do. Went screaming all over the shuk. Who found it? I lost money. finally, a yid came and came, and the yid said, you know, I found the money. But the halacha is, ma'is b'chuzaret ha'ayel shalai. You lost the money. The halacha is that it's ha'ayel shalai. Even a person says, they want to be yayish, he's screaming. But the halacha says that it's still yayish, ma'is b'chuzaret. Even if you're screaming, it's because you're out to get it. So the person says, look, I'm a poor man. It's my money, it's my money, it's not your money. I don't have to give it to you. If the rabbi says I have to give it to you, I'll give it to you. If the rabbi says I don't have to give it to you, I won't give it to you. So he went to the rabbi. The rabbi said, no, it's a Mishnah. Mike was Mazaris Ariel Shalai. You'll be Yahish. You'll be alive. Obviously, you'll be alive. And they went from one rabbi to another rabbi. Everyone passed. They finished the Mishnah. You won't see it. The first Mishnah you'll learn. Finally, he came to Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan. And Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan said, no, you have a place to give it back. So the riddle is, why? Why? So Rabbi Yitzchak Chanan said, what do you mean? Not the woman's money, the husband's money. The husband gave the wife from the Medrash Shliach to buy for him. The wife lost the money. She can't be the Yayish on someone else's money. So the husband is Yishlani Das. He didn't know about it. It would have been telephones. He would call the husband. She would have been the Yayish. No telephone. They know anything. So it's the husband's money. The only Yayish is the husband's money. It's not a Yish. So he probably has to return. So if I'm like to tell all of the story about this Nakuta, you have to know. But he would add that the Shaila is in the Ketzach HaKadoshim on the bottom of the page. Chayshemish, but he's besotted if a wife who's Naisas, when they said it, who's a Chabayis, who's in the business, he's besotted if her Yish counts. It's a Kochan, either she wasn't together in Naisas, when they said it, or however the Maisa was, whatever the Pratim were, Kochanan, if it's Kochanan Tzak, is it is Kochanan Tzak. Another story. Remember all these stories, you know, a lot of slight halachas besides the stories. Another interesting shayla, I argued with this with a palm. Again, a number of demons. The shayla was a very high, and it actually happened. Someone made someone else a shliach to buy him a lottery ticket. And he told him, go to the store and buy me a lottery ticket. The person went and bought the lottery tickets. He didn't get around to giving it to him until after the lottery was drawn. And obviously, the lottery won that ticket, was the winning ticket. And the person said, you know what? I decided I want to sell to you. It's a winning ticket. I'll keep it. You'll never come in. Finished. He said, what do you mean? I made your shliach to buy it for me. When you picked it up, you cut it for me. So this is in the true Divrei Chaim. This happened actually quite a number of years ago. And the Divrei Chaim said it for the fetish is Sifrei Shulchan Aruch, Chayshe Mishpat. He sent someone to the store to buy something for you that he has a din shliach, and he's kind to you. And the lottery ticket goes to the person who sent. If he had a mind, he had a mind. He had a mind to buy him. And the neighborhood works. There's enough convenience in this, which is not what you would think instinctively. Let's say you send someone to the store. You tell me, go to the store, buy me a container of milk. He buys you a container of milk. On the way home, something happens to it. So, he's walking down, someone drives a bike into him, and his container falls and it's spilled. Would it ever dawn on you that you have to pay it? Now, if he bought it for himself, and then he's selling it to you and he gives it to you, so something happens on the way, then it's just tough luck. But the halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that when he buys it, assume he's buying it for you. If he's buying it for you, then if something happens to it on the way, he won't pay it today. He's just like, he bought it. Unless he's a shaya, you have to pay him for it. And I argue with a Rambam about this, that there's my name, though it's not that way. If you say anything about potato milk, I don't like to be kind of you. Look, it's an old stuff, so whether it's a Kundan or a Gemara, whether we, the Shulchan Aruch, we can say it's different as man as that. It has to be very clear. I'm sorry, that's me, and then that's how I send someone to the store to buy something for you. He's kind of for you. Buy this, and he has another one. And that's...
Well, sometimes he doesn't have in mind. That's the whole reason he wants to
store. Yeah, I think, well, if I do send it to the store, I'm assuming I'm buying it, and then when I give it to you, it becomes yours. Then you say, I'm taking it out to you. I think that's what most people think. Maybe not.
Apparently not.
No one
needs to be funny anyway. When I go to the store, I don't think I'm
going to
be
complaining
about this.
It's true. It's much better. It's funny because if you go to the store and you buy two containers of milk, one for you, one for him, then this halacha wouldn't be true. Because you want to be yachid, any one container to him and one for you. So there can't be a kinyan unless you be yachid which one it is. So actually, there's a difference between the person that wants two out of the tickets, one for himself, one for the other person. And he wasn't yachid, which is his and which is the other, there'd be no kinyan. Not very, very unusual. Psak halacha. Let me end with a very debatable psak that Rav Tam used to mention. A maisa, Rabbi Shula Kutna. An interesting case. This is more of an akadita psak. It was a shul, and you have to know in Europe when you own your seat in shul, you never owned it. You owned the karka of the shul. I mean, you owned the seat. It was Pierre Thomas. People who owned the seat in the community shul. Like today, you pay manager, you get a seat. The shul expanded on the Mizrah side. The shul was made bigger on the Mizrah side, not that Mizrah van. Now there's a big system. The people who had seats by the Mizrah van claim that now my seat is in the Mizrah van. I haven't had the opportunity to see the shul. The Gabon said, no, your seat is the karka where you're sitting. That's your seat. And the new seats, we can sell the new, you know, charge a good price for it. People once upon a time used to like to sit on the Mizrah van. And, you know, we'll charge for it. So there was a din taira as to what happens with the Mizrah van seat. Does the person who has a seat have a seat in that spot? Or he has a seat in the Mizrah hall? Now he has a seat in the Mizrah hall. The truth is there are a number of chuvas. Some say all sides of chuva on it. Some say the whole spot. Rishul Kutna said the following thing. He said, we find that when Hashem changed the name of Sarai to Sarah, that the Yud, it's Yerushalmi, the Yud left a complaint at the Sarah and said, what happened to me? I was in the Sadekis' name. And now I'm being knocked off. So what did Kosh Baruch say? I'll pay you back. I'll put you in Yeshua. Hashem's name will be changed to Yeshua. And the Medrash said, before you were at the end of a name, now you'll be in the beginning of a name. Understand Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi, we see it's more kosher for a letter to be in the beginning. Why is more kosher? I don't know. But Yerushalmi says the thing. Before you were at the end, now you're in the beginning. It's more kosher. So we show the code in the time is, what about the hay? What's the hay going to do? The hay was the first letter, and now it's the second letter. The first letter is more kosher. The hay should have got the complaint to the Rebbe Shalom that that's not fair, and now the hay is not fair. Now why the hay would complain, I don't know. If you could complain, the hay could complain. So the hay should complain before I was here. Tell them I said that whatever your spot is your spot. Something gets more than this spot than you, it gets put out of you. You know, you're the head. You're the first. You're the first. That was his what? So Pam said that this ma'isa, which he said in the Piyah Shmua, he has Pifukim on from Chashim Mishpat, actually Simon Kofayim. Hey, there's discussion of this. So Pop suggested what the Terence. He said, like you said, that maybe the hay got a good deal, because the hay stayed in Yeshua's name, and he got the son of the hay. So this is what Pop said. Pop said, and hey, I tell you to Pop, what about the shin of the ayin of Yeshua? They should have time. So I said, well, maybe only the first letter is Lachasha, but the second letter is the second or third. The Bachar is Lachasha, the second, third is the same. Anyway, it was a nice argument. Just when you remember the stuff, I'm just enjoying the stuff. All right, these are some Chayshim Mishpatinim. Yeah, more. This is the next year, Chayshim Mishpatinim. I'll go to Shabbat.